It's 6:30 on your Thursday evening. It's the Radio City Legends. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp here for a full hour. Anything on your mind which you want to get off it or off your chest? 01514720967. I'm Steve Hothersall. And of course, we're looking ahead to a big weekend of footy for Liverpool. It's a trip to the capital and Arsenal. And Everton have got, I suppose it's a mid-table clash with Brighton. Hello, chaps. You okay?
Steve, yeah.
Nice to see you both. Busy weeks or not?
I was in Ireland for a couple of days, Sunday, Monday, very, very good entertainment, I must admit.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Guinness wasn't bad neither. It was nice, a couple of pints.
You were actually working, or was it just drinking Guinness?
I was a judge, you know. It's called the Oscars. A friend of mine does it. Listen, no, it's a really good concept. The local people in Aden that he'd done, it was 7 10-minute films, you know, of like the likes of The Quiet Man, big films in years gone by. And they acted the film out within 10 minutes. And there was four judges and we had to judge the best, you know, performers.
How could you judge after a night on the Guinness?
No, I got there that day, to be quite honest. The next day, I could have been struggling a bit.
John, why are you qualified to be a judge?
I've watched many footballers act over the last 15 years with you know, commentating. So I think that's the reason why they pulled me in, you know, Steve, you know. But it was
a
very,
winner,
very great
you?
Concept. Yeah. Really yeah. good. Great entertainment, yeah, it was.
All right, well, you're going up in the movie. In fact, Sharpie's more showbiz than that. He was telling me he's hanging out with David Beckham and Ed Sheeran tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, that
yes,
is cheating.
You were.
No.
Is Ed Sheeran not on the invite?
No, I don't think so.
Who was it?
There's a few. Robbie Williams and all that.
No, yeah, just Robbie. Yeah.
Where's this?
Down in London.
Oh, yeah. Very nice, mate. Enjoy.
Yeah. He's on a proper showbiz night, yeah. Sharpie.
Send him regards.
I asked if he was taking his missus. She's not invited.
No, it's a boy's night, wasn't it?
you're not allowed to say that. Right, let's look ahead to the weekend. I think the big one for the weekend coming up has to be Arsenal against Liverpool.
Yeah, of course.
It's a gauger. It's a signpost as far as Liverpool fans or the manager is concerned.
Yeah, you know, perhaps we might have got them at the wrong time. You look at early on the season when they didn't know where they were under the new manager. They're a little bit hairy-fairy, you know. And
how did you get on there last year?
3-3, mad game. We went 2-0 up and we battered them. And we just took, you know, actually, there's a couple of mistakes, defensive right. mistakes. Cost us big time. Next minute, 3-2 down, and then we got a draw with Firmino. But it's always an entertaining game down there, Sharpies, you know, because they will play the way they play, even under this manager, I'm pretty sure. You know, they've got some good attacking people now. The players that they've bought, you know, who took a bit of time to settle, are starting to play really well, thrust them going all these games unbeaten and winning 10 in a row and all that. So it's a bit of a marker, you know, but they'll be very wary of us. And, you know, hopefully, as we said after the game when I seen you at the weekend, you know, there was more signs from the front three on Saturday than they've seen for a while, that hopefully they're clicking into a bit of gear, you know.
I think they've still got defensive problems.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
you don't want to say too much, but Sharpie's right.
No, they're weak. They're, even through the middle, they're weak. Boy Bellerin at right back, yeah, not bad, but nothing great. Defensively, they're not great. You look at Arsenal over the years, and even now with Aubameyang and Lacazette, people, you're looking at their forward players and their creative players, but there's always that weakness at the back, you know, and it's been there for the last few years. So whilst he's had a decent start, Emery, I don't think he's fixed that problem. And John said about Arsenal.
Decent start. 112 of 13 games. That's a great start,
John
isn't
says,
it?
Liverpool's front three coming back into a little bit of form, they will cause them problems. So John talked about 3-3 last year. I think there'll be goals in the game, and I think Liverpool will be too strong for them, because I just basically defensively, I think they're not a tight knit unit. And
so Arsenal are flattering to deceive at the moment. That's what you're saying. Not properly tested.
I think they're attacking. They're scoring goals and they look good when they attack, but defensively, I think you can get after them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Looking back at the fixtures, but I think this will be Arsenal's toughest test, or one of the toughest tests. And defensively, as I said, I don't think they're great.
Sharpie's right, because, you know, the games they've played, with all due respect to Arsenal, and you've got to win every game as it comes, there've been teams that are all quite winnable. Mm-hmm. You know, Liverpool's a different matter. So they've got a few injury problems. So I've read in the paper, wait and see. But, you know, you've got to obviously treat them with the utmost respect, and especially with them going forward. But, you know, it's a game that's always, there's goals in, you know, in the year before. I think we won 4-3 in the end, you know, 3-3. The big game, goals in, they'll score, we'll score. I'm pretty sure about that, you know. Let's hope that we score more than them.
It's always an entertaining one, isn't it?
No, sorry, Steve, I'm looking at the way things are at the moment with the teams that are up there, City, Liverpool, Chelsea with a good start. And then you've got Spurs, Arsenal and United. Those Spurs, Arsenal and United, for me, are already going for fourth spot. I don't see Spurs, Arsenal United challenging City, Liverpool or Chelsea this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are they going to challenge? Yeah, they've started well, but I don't see them sustaining up. Certainly not with the back four they've got.
Well, City, they're going to be formidable, aren't they? You know, again, they go to Tottenham. You're hoping Tottenham can upset the upper car. They're at home, might get a draw. And City, one thing that surprised me about City, defensively now, they're not conceding. Whereas they were always iffy at the back, going forward, brilliant. The manager now has balanced it out somewhere. I've got going forward and not leaving themselves too much exposed at the back. He's a great coach, you know, he's took him time, but he looks like he's got that sorted out as well, doesn't he? So it's going to take some doing, but you've just got to keep on going for it.
As the Premier League table looks at the moment, Tottenham are 5 points behind Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
5 points is a lot, even at this stage, isn't it? And you look at the games, you think, are Liverpool going to drop many at home? Are they going to drop many points at home?
Well, and that can soon change. No. Liverpool lose one and Tottenham win one. And then it's only 2 points, and then all of a sudden there's a draw there. So that's nothing at the moment.
All I'm saying is those margins are quite hard to make up, aren't
they? No, I don't. 5 points isn't. I think if it gets any, if it goes up 10 or 8, I think then you're struggling. I think 5, I think that's only a win.
It can happen. Yeah. If you fall over a banana skin, you know, which can happen in football. We've seen it before. You draw and all of a sudden they're not. But it's over the season, isn't it? I just think the way we've got it right at the back, you know, we keep the players intact. And I mean, like Van Dijk in particular, you know, we're always going to be quite solid.
Is it feasible to think Liverpool would go the whole season without being beaten at home?
Yeah, we can go. Yeah. We can go beaten at home. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. We could, yeah. I'm not saying we will, but... yeah, we could do that.
But it looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, it looks good for something like that.
Yeah. No, we know, like, Cardiff came the weekend. You know, we lost our way for about 10 minutes, if that. But other than that, it was quite plain sailing, whereas last year and season's gone by, we've made a bit of a mess of them type of games. Mm. You know, so that's one great thing, you know, that we're doing right. It's just we got it married up. Last year we struggled against the top sides a bit. Year before was brilliant. We've got to get that back this year. And if you can go to the likes of Arsenal and get a win, it's a massive win.
Right.
A massive win.
Everton have got Brighton at the weekend. Everton are 9th, Brighton are 11th. There's only a point separating these two. They've both got 4 wins each. So at the moment, their records are pretty comparable, Sharpie.
Yeah, Everton at home, the onus is on them. Brighton have had some decent results, some decent performances. You know, obviously the Glenn Murray. Is the one everybody's talking about at the moment. You know, striker is...
Is he fit after what happened?
Yeah, he scored last week, so he's scored 100 goals now for Brighton kind of thing. So he looks as if he's the main danger, but they've got decent players in there as well. It'll be interesting. They've got two big centre-backs, who Shane Duffy's one of them, Lewis Dunk's the other one, and you're thinking they like it the old-fashioned way, ball's in the box, he'll head it clear 9 times out of 10. But I'm just looking at the way Everton are set up now, and it ain't like that. You know, it ain't, you know... necessarily an aerial battle all the time, so I wouldn't be surprised if the manager looks to maybe change things up top to cause them a few more problems, because there ain't a lot of height up front. But I think they can get after them a little bit. You know, I think they've done well, Brighton, and all credit to the manager. But I think this is a game Everton will be looking to win.
I think, you know, the one game out of all the teams that come from to Anfield, with the exception of City, obviously. That impressed me. It was Brighton.
Mm.
He really impressed me. Decent. You know, they came and they were dogged.
Yeah.
They're very disciplined. You know, Chris is a good friend of mine from the international days. Yeah. And he's got them very regimental. Yeah. And they're really difficult to break down,
yeah.
Sharpie.
Yeah,
I'm looking at you. I think he'll go a little bit the same at Everton.
Mm.
He'll have the utmost respect for Everton, the home record, and knows how dangerous. And I think he'll try and dog it and try and do what he did at Newcastle in many ways, because Newcastle had a lot of the ball, they had quite a few good situations, but they got a clean sheet, you know, and they got the all-important winner, and that's what he'll be trying to do. I think Everton will be, you know, be a bit too strong for them personally.
Right, give us a shout on that 101-514-720-967. 472-0967, Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Let's get to the phone lines straight away. We're talking Liverpool first up, of course, with that game against Arsenal ahead at the weekend. And Cam is our first caller. Evening, Cam.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hello, Cam.
Hi. My question, first one for Aldo, if that's okay.
Go on, then.
Obviously, we got the big game at the weekend with Arsenal. Huge game down at the Emirates there. Do you think, Aldo, that he'll change the formation up a bit? Do you think he'll go back to 4-3-3, or do you think he'll stick to the 4-2-3-1? And also, who do you think will line up in defence?
Well, I'm pretty sure the team will be Alisson. Van Dijk, he might go Lovren and Gomez, you know. Gomez right back and Robertson left back. Then the midfield three is the one. You're not too sure. The front three, we know the front three are going to be the three main lads. He might go strong and play the likes of Henderson, you know, Fabinho, Milner, Wijnaldum, you know, in the three. Three of them out the four. Will he play Shaqiri in there, who's been brilliant, I think? Don't know. I'd like to think he's got, you know, the respect of the players to think, well, we'll go there and maybe go for it. And I think we're balanced better with Shaqiri in the middle, to be quite honest. You know, you've got the two old midfield players. But he might just want to, you know, be a bit conservative in midfield, stop their front, getting the supply they need with the pace they've got. I've been very impressed with them the last few games at the Emirates. When they get the ball, they move it about a lot quicker than they have done the previous seasons with the lads up front. As Sharpie said, like I said, and Aubameyang. So I don't know. I think the rest of the team will pick itself. It's just the midfield three. Fabinho's been doing really well. I thought, you know, he showed some great signs the last couple of games. Henderson will probably be back in the equation.
What does Shaqiri have to do to force his way into the starting?
I know, yeah.
Life? Liverpool lose.
Yeah, you know.
Is that the way it goes for him?
It's a funny one. He's been exceptional, you know, all the games I've seen him.
He's been
the
best player every time he's come on, hasn't he?
I think he's been excellent, you know, so consistent. What would you do yourself then, Cam?
I think because we're playing away and it is one of the top six teams as such, I think he'll go stronger in the midfield and he'll go 4-3-3. I think Shaqiri will be on the bench. I think he'll be more of an impact player for us in this particular game, because ultimately who do you drop for Shaqiri?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and this might come on to one of my next questions, actually. The three I'd probably go for, I'd love to see Fabinho start in the middle of the three, but I don't see Jurgen doing that just yet, because I think Fabinho is better in a two, and I think he said that, so he'll probably go back to what he knows in these type of games, and I feel that will be Ginny, Hendo, and Milner.
So you'd like Fabinho in the expense of who?
I wouldn't say I'd like it. I'm not saying that. I would like to see Fabinho start. That's what I'm saying. But I don't think he will, because I think Jurgen would prefer to go stronger in the midfield by having three midfielders in there. And I don't think Fabinho is comfortable just yet, because we haven't seen Fabinho in a three. We've only seen Fabinho in a two. The last two games he's played, he's played alongside Ginny in a two.
He can actually play in a more offensive midfield. You know, even when he played right back, he's good at going forward. So the manager knows he's doing that. He's capable of doing that, should I say. Whether this is the game, like you're saying, I think what you said, I think he'll go that way. I think Shaqiri won't start. And I think he'll go three of them four players in midfield and go strong in there and leave it to the front three, you know, to counteract what Arsenal can do in midfield areas and stop their front lads getting there.
And back to Shaqiri then, has he carved himself a niche as an impact player, like as a super sub type player?
No, I don't think so. You know, he's actually started a couple of games and done very well, Steve. So, you know.
Yeah, but has he got a hope of like getting a long term starting berth? I mean, he's obviously going to not one of the front three out of the lineup, is he?
Well, I think if he's going to play, I think he may have to. And I think, you know, Sane is one that, you know, Shaqiri will look at and think.
Mane.
I think that might be the one. But listen, at the moment, no, because the front three pick themselves. Yeah. So I think you've just got to be patient. And I think when he signed for Liverpool, he knew that as well. He knew that he wasn't going to walk right into the team. He knew he had to be patient and wait for his chance and his opportunity. Listen, his opportunity will come, unfortunately, if somebody gets injured. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, but he's got to be patient. You know, I don't think he can say at this moment in time, you just said before how good he's been and, you know, he deserves a start, but he doesn't deserve a start if the team are continuing to win. You know what I mean? So it's a good problem to have if you're a manager. It's not if you're a player, you're desperate to play, and he looks like he's got a good attitude at Liverpool, but I just think he's got to be patient. You know,
I think your balance, you know, the chop and change now, when he's sharp. I think the manager will, he'll be getting more starts at Anfield in a way.
Yeah.
You know, in some games, you know.
Like, so if you're him, are you knocking on the manager's door just so I can have a quick chat, Jurgen? Actually, I've been playing pretty well.
I think the manager tells him. I think the manager's very good with his play. He keeps him in contact. You know, he swings and roundabouts, you know. I do tinker here and there. You know, you're going to get, you're not playing for Stoke now. You know, you're playing in the big club, blah, blah, blah. And you'll get X amount of starts. Mm-hmm. You're just going to be patient. You'll be coming on a sub. Yeah. You're going to get 20 starts a season. You're going to come on a sub many times. So just trust me and see how it goes. I think that's probably where the conversation's gone between the two of them.
It's a good dilemma to have. Quickly, Cam, are Liverpool going to make it 9 wins in the Premier League then this weekend?
I see, why not?
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think defensively we're stronger than Arsenal.
Yeah,
and I think we should have the firepower then to trouble that Arsenal defence a bit more than what they can trouble us.
Good man, thank you very much indeed. Great call. 7:15. It's Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. We'll talk Everton in a moment or two. You want to get on 0151 472 0967. 7:08. Radio City Legends. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. I'm Steve Hothersall. I wish you could have seen the argument we just had during the break over whether Shaqiri should start games or not. Everyone got quite heated in the studio. Right, before we get to our next caller, and that's an Everton caller. It's Dave who's hanging on. Just want to mention this Roberto Martinez link to Real Madrid. So I brought it up last week and it was sort of brushed off by you guys. He's now pretty much the favourite to be the Real Madrid manager. So Wigan, Everton, Belgium national job, Real Madrid manager. That is some going, isn't it? I mean, it's not been been confirmed. Are you shocked by that, Sharpie? Does his football suit Real Madrid? What is it that works there that Real Madrid like?
Wow. I honestly don't know. I speak Spanish.
Is the talent pool not good enough that they're picking from? Because here are the five favourites. So Santiago Solari, who's the Real Madrid B team manager, who's currently in temporary charge. Pochettino, who I don't think's going anywhere. Arsene Wenger and Antonio Conte.
But Wenger says he doesn't want anything. Something I read today, doesn't want anything until the new year.
Conte, there's an issue.
But I don't think Conte will suit Real Madrid.
The way they play. Yeah.
And the interesting thing with the Martinez, somebody told me today that Kevin De Bruyne was critical of Martinez, wasn't he, in Belgium with the tactics, and I think they got beat. It might have been in the World Cup, and he was very critical of the manager in terms of tactics and the way the team were playing. That's from one of their so-called star players. Could he do it? Yeah, he could do it. He could do it. And he's a smashing guy and everything else. But I think that's a meteoric rise from where he's been to going up there to probably the top job, you would say, in world football, European football, Real Madrid. But as you said, the candidates out there, I don't think they take Conte.
There's an issue there because of Hazard as well, isn't there? Yeah. They clearly want him, and I think there's a difference between Conte and Hazard. Yeah. So straight away, it's we can't take Conte.
Having not managed in the Spanish league before,
not a lot of options, is
there? No, there isn't.
No,
there isn't.
But I always said they haven't got rid of Roberto too soon.
Why is he smiling? We'll come back to that one. Radio City Legends, let's talk Everton. Dave's our next caller. Evening to you, Dave.
Evening, boys. You all right?
Dave, before you get going, Roberto Martinez for Real Madrid, does that work, do you think?
Well, I've always said his agent's just got to be Paul McKenna, hasn't he?
His agent's
going to go in the room and hypnotise them, because how can you go from Wigan to Everton, the Belgian national coach, and then obviously Real Madrid, the biggest job in the world, and, you know.
Might happen. Right, what's on your mind anyway?
Just going back to obviously, you know, the decision at Manchester United. I thought obviously we went there a lot of confidence, unusual years and stuff like that. I thought, you know, we're on a good one. And then the penalty incident happened, and I thought, you know, I've seen him given, I've seen him sort of waved away. Hmm. It's going back to this thing, the debate. VAR, why go and research it and why go and use it at the World Cup? You're not going to bring it to the Premier League, the best league in the world. We need to advance in the technology side of things. Now, obviously, the time on the World Cup where it goes from going back to the screen and the referee needed to rewind it back and watch it back and stuff like that, that can be helped. We've got the fourth official in the technical area. He can watch the game through the screen. Most of the time last season, some of the fourth officials were watching the game on the screen, so that's no issue. But the VAR needs to come in, because obviously them decisions are vital turning points in the game, and the cost them seems like Everton points each week.
Sharpie, we missed your reaction to it on Monday. We weren't here. So were you furious about what happened with the penalty?
Yeah, listen, I said at the time, Dave, as well, you know, he stuck his leg out. And if you stick your leg out, there's a possibility the guy's going to fall over it. You know, but
he took the ball off.
Yeah, he did. But what I'm saying is, so you leave yourself wide open. But in saying that, he won the ball. But listen, when we looked it back in the replay, you could see he won the ball and then he's carried through and he's kind of dived over his leg. He didn't want he looked sheepish, you know, Martial, because he didn't think it was a penalty either, and he kind of looked sheepish. But the fact that what Dave's saying, I'm not a big lover of VAR, but that could easily, because he'd stopped a game and given the penalty, it could easily have went to VAR and said, right, okay, it's not.
As well,
yeah. Yeah. He's so.
Oh man, he actually got proper wish hunted.
Yeah.
To Darwin.
Yeah.
And he was banned for two games.
Yeah.
You know, where's that? Because obviously he plays for Manchester United, is it? Or what? You know, we don't ban Martial for Darwin and simulating the referee's decision.
Yeah. Gave you spot on.
So where's the fine margin, man? When's it going to be enough? Because in the terrace, you know, we can be called a good decision. You hear the fans moaning about the referees' standards. The standards are bog standards. Sometimes Sharpie on the referee's decision. The linesman's late. You don't get the flag right. And then, you know.
But Dave, the one I said to John.
Giving it the opposite way.
Yeah, but I said to John, even in that penalty decision, he's given it. He could quite easily have given Idrissa Gueye a second yellow card and he'd have been off. Equally, Chris Smalling in the second half when he's given it for Everton's penalty, that was a booking. That was a second yellow card and he would have been off. So you're just looking at it and you're thinking, wait, the rules change from week to week. You just do not know where you stand. You know, as a player now, you do not know where you stand with referees. One week they let things go, the other week they punish you. Yeah. They've got to get them on board.
The referee schooling then. Go back to the drawing board with the referee schooling and show back to the point system, maybe.
But
you
listen,
know, so obviously the referees get a scorecast. You know,
like, yeah, it should be. Should be. If they make a mistake, they shouldn't be in. Yeah. If they make mistakes the week before and blatant mistakes,
it's relegated.
Yeah, they should be like a footballer. They get dropped.
You know, some weeks, you know, like a big game, Chelsea, Arsenal, Chelsea United, a big title game, and they're getting ruined by a decision, decision by the referee. I think you should be on a point system. If you don't score a certain amount of points for that game, you're off the weekend after. You're playing in the Championship, you're refereeing the Championship. Yeah. But you must be on good money, Sharp.
Oh, they're on good money, flipping it. They're on good money.
You know what I mean? You must be on good money, so you're going to be demoted to the Championship.
And then, David, you know, sometimes you feel like you're just blowing against the wind because they stick together at the end of the day. I mean, if there's any sort of inclination that you might be right when it's, even if it's 20-80 against, they'll say, well, see that, you know, that's the reason why you got it right. Sometimes you think,
but John, it went on to another radio station and they asked Dermot Gallagher, who was a referee, and I think he's in charge of him. I don't know, he might not be.
Dermot's a massive Man United fan to begin with. Who
said that he'd partially won the ball. He partially won the ball. He got a touch on the ball. Well, what do you mean you partially? So he's won the ball. So I mean, if you win it this way, that way, he's won the ball. He's admitted that.
If you got the ball first, then it's all right.
Yeah.
So
that's what Dermot Gallagher said. So he said it was a penalty, but he's partially won the ball.
What's that?
So
it's a non-contact sport, no?
Oh, madness. Listen, I was just getting over that and you've just brought all that up again.
You've got him all riled. Yeah. Talking about that game and being a master of the stutter penalty take.
Oh, my goodness.
But what do you make of Paul Pogba's penalty in that game?
Seen a lot better.
Does he practice it like that?
It's what you do with the timing. You know, the time he's just about keeping you.
You think he's
composure.
Just thought to himself?
It's pathetic.
It was awful, wasn't it?
But that one is. Yeah, that was
the worst penalty I think I've seen.
What's the thing? It took Usain Bolt He was quicker. Usain Bolt, he was quicker running his record time than it was for him to take that penalty.
Yeah. What, the 100 metres dash?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He timed it.
That's amazing, isn't it? Sorry, it took him longer than 9 seconds.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. It's, no.
It doesn't work, does it?
No.
Very quickly, anything else on your mind, Dave, looking to the weekend?
Obviously, got one into Brighton now. Do we go with the next rumour, or do we bring him Yerry Mina? Obviously, Doc Keenan to the bench, or do we go three at the back and obviously bed Mina in, John Charles for Chelsea, with Jim and obviously being a legend?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Dave. I think he'll stick with what he's got. I think the back four have done well. With Zuma and Keane, a good partnership. I think Mina's got to be, as you quite rightly said, I think he'll probably play in the game on Tuesday and get a run out in that. And then obviously with Zuma tied up for the Chelsea game, he'll probably come in then. But I think he's just got to be patient. We talked about it before. He's another one who has to be patient and just wait for a chance. But unfortunately, it comes usually when somebody else gets injured. Or if the manager changes his system to three at the back. But I don't see him doing that at the weekend. I think what we're more likely to see is Richarlison back on the left wing and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Cenk Tosun, or even possibly Walcott play up front. You know, so I think that's the decision the manager's got to make for the weekend.
Dave, thank you very much indeed. Great points.
Right, thanks,
Dave.
Speak again soon. Did you boys see this? These problems that erupted at the Edinburgh Derby?
Yeah.
Last night.
I read something this morning about it.
Neil Lennon, the Hibs manager, and Zenit Zlamal, the Hearts goalkeeper, both floored after being struck during the game.
But no, listen. I watched the highlights of it. Hearts have scored near the end of the game. And they've all gone mad, obviously. They thought they won the derby. The referee has disallowed it. At that point, Neil Lennon comes out the dugout and is chastising the Hibs fans, laughing and calm down and all that kind of thing. And listen, no way should coins be thrown at a football match. I'm not saying that, but he didn't help his case. You know, he's been involved in stuff like that before. He didn't help himself, you know, with his actions after the disallowed goal, but certainly... That's throwing coins and things. That's criminal. You know, that could have easily taken somebody's eye out. And that was reckless. So hopefully they get the guy who done that. But I think the manager has to learn as well about his reactions.
Horrendous. And it's not the only game that's suffered in recent weeks in Scotland. So there's a bit of an issue to address with what's going on with the Scottish crowds at the moment.
There's always a rivalry, isn't there? Celtic Rangers, Hearts, Hibs. Religious aspects and all that, but there's no need for it. There's no place for it. You know, we're trying to move forward as a game as well as a civilization, society, and there's no need for that. But hey ho, obviously there's things that are happening which aren't great, but hopefully they'll get to the bottom of it and weed out the offenders. That's the most important thing.
3 minutes past 7 o'clock. It's the Radio City Legends. Graham Sharp, John Aldridge. Some more of your calls coming. 4720967. And we'll do pens next. Why is Graham Sharp's hand raised in the air, John Aldridge?
I would just have to say that you two were absent the other day. And Dominic Matteo was in.
Oh, so is the quiz null and void?
Yes. Simply because.
Why, you lost?
No. So I have to tell you this, and I just hope you were better prepared. Christian. Had an absolute nightmare with his questions. We answered the questions correctly, only to be told they were the wrong answers. Then after a little bit of research from Christian, he decided they were the right answers. So it was scrapped, null and void.
So you questioned the validity of Christian's answers.
He asked what his
question. He then scratched them, and then he proved that they were right.
No, he never. He asked which in the Premier League history, which club? What was it, Christian? Which club has stayed up? Which club has never been relegated?
Yeah.
So Dom said,
"Well, there must be a few, wasn't there?"
And they went no, and I went Brighton, because they haven't been relegated from the Premier League. It's Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. They've been up. But,
yeah.
Wrong answer. I mean, wrong answer, and he had to go through it all and go
right. Okay, let's hope that
it's a bit of a tricky one. That actually, you get you there.
So well, it was null and void.
There's much better questions today. Right, don't worry about that. Firmly got
6-2.
Okay, 6.
Quality levels have been raised.
I thought it was 3-2.
Never mind. Who's going first? John, do you want to let John go first?
No, it was my turn. I went first.
Oh, you're properly.
I bet you're
terrible at Christmas, aren't you, with a Monopoly board and everything?
Number five.
Right. Here we go. Who is this mystery voice? It's a mystery voice straight away.
It's good at these.
Okay. Right. Very quick clip.
You need to stay in the game as...
Hang on. Okay, who do you think that mystery voice is?
Chris Houghton.
I thought you were saying Christian.
No.
Christmas!
Chappie, you're all good at them. Yeah. I'll give you that very, very
Would you have
good.
Got that?
Chris, yeah. Not yeah, only because right. I know his voice.
Okay, next question, John.
Oh, dear me. I'll have to go to number two then.
All right. Ooh, name the artist or the song. Oh, dead easy.
He's good at these. Oh, come on.
Oh, Billy Idol.
Well done, John.
Yeah.
Yes!
Nice, easy start to pens today. Sharpie, where do you want to go?
Four.
Number four. Dejan Lovren started his career at Dinamo Zagreb. Can you spell the name of the club? Can you spell the name of the club?
Zagreb, Z-A-G-R-E-B. Mm. And Dinamo, they can do it both ways. D-I or D-Y. N-A-M-O.
I've got to say, I told Christian to put some hard spelling names in here. Who would have thought Dinamo Zagreb was hard to spell?
Excuse me, do you know what we had the other night?
Oh, gosh.
Can an emu fly? That was one of the questions.
I meant, like, spell Aubameyang, not spell Dinamo Zagreb. Yeah. All right, here we go. John, where do you want to go?
So that was a point for me, yeah.
Hold on, where are we now? You had five, didn't you? Yeah, five. We haven't... I'll go away number one then.
All right. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is currently the Premier League's leading scorer. Please spell.
Oh, no.
Please spell his surname.
Oh, that is hard now. Jappy. A U B A M A Y
Z
A N G.
Where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
How was it?
No, well, you're not very good at spelling in school.
I was good, yeah. Good
were you?
Very
good, good speller.
Yeah. Is it A-U-B-Y?
Sorry?
Is it A-U-B-Y?
A-U-B.
Yeah.
A.
Yeah.
M.
I said that. A.
E.
E. Oh, there.
That was where you went wrong. Y
A
N G.
Oh, come on.
Unless Chris has got it wrong when he looks at the
computer. Come on, that's shocking. Tell me the difference between an A and an E. What A and E?
What's it? In Garston.
Yeah. Was that number one?
That was unlucky, that one.
Was that number one?
Yeah, that was number one.
That was unlucky, that.
All right.
Oh, look at him laughing.
You're usually good at that spelling.
Sharpie, go on to seal it again.
Number six.
Number six. Everton host Brighton at the weekend.
Spell Brighton.
Under Christian's quiz, yeah. Yeah. Please name four Brighton players. Oh.
Dunk, Duffy, the lad up top, yeah.
You've got Dunk.
Dunk, Duffy.
What's Dunk's first name?
Luce. Okay. Oh, hold on, what's going on here?
What is going through his head?
No, you didn't answer it in the time period specified.
We're talking about him before, the
centre forward.
There we go. Yeah, Glenn Murray, you haven't even given me time.
the timer ran out.
Oh, is this an Everton?
Get another one then. Just another one quick.
Glenn Murray, yeah.
Yeah, that's three. Give us another one, come.
Izaguirre.
Who?
Izaguirre.
I'm looking through the team sheet here. All right, spell Izaguirre and
no,
I'll let you have it.
No,
we can't have it then. The clock ran out.
Scandalous,
John, go on.
Got a chance for the draw now.
You can get the draw.
I'll have number three.
Okay, it's been announced this week that the British Masters is going to be hosted in Southport by Tommy Fleetwood. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. Which club is the British Masters?
There's one between two and I'll go Hillside.
That's a scandal.
You think it's Hillside?
Hillside, yeah.
Christian, what's going on there?
Wow!
Right, let's go on to the tiebreak.
Do
you know why he knew that? I'd have got that wrong when we had a meeting the ex-players yesterday, the ex-Liverpool players, and we decided that we're all going.
It's not happening.
I've got the Brighton question right.
No, you actually got it wrong because it's... Go on, give me the name of the player again.
Izaguirre.
No.
It's
not Izaguirre.
What is it? Izaguirre.
Pronounced as...
Izaguirre.
You've just changed the name.
Izaguirre.
It's not called Izaguirre or
Izaguirre. Izaguirre.
Who is it then?
Izaguirre.
No, what about the one that used to play from Celtic?
There isn't another Izguidi.
There is Izaguirre.
Yeah, that's three names, right? There you go. Here's your tiebreak.
It's a scandal. It's an absolute scandal.
Who's
I'm sitting in here with three sign. Reds. Right. It's a scandal.
I'm not playing.
The toes are getting thrown on the pram and everything. Right, hold on, Steve.
Right.
I'm not playing. I'm phoning my lawyer.
Okay. Liverpool have played Arsenal 224 times.
Who's this, to me or Sharpie?
Well, you can decide between you. Liverpool have played Arsenal 224 times. How many of those games have they won?
Who won?
Liverpool. That's right, isn't it? Yeah.
All right.
Do you want to do the answer, John? And then Sharpie can go higher or lower.
Hold on. Why don't you let me do it? I'll get it wrong, and then you just see the other one.
I'll have a guess.
All right,
go on, have a guess.
30%. 224.
What are you writing down? 224 times.
Go on, he's got to hurry up.
I would say Liverpool have won 70.
70 times, higher or lower?
Out of 224 games?
Higher or lower?
I'd say higher.
No! You've done me again! No! I'm not playing no more!
I thought that was pretty low, your guess here.
You two are the worst spoil sports ever.
What was it?
It's 86.
Oh, it's not bad. You weren't close.
You're close, though. Your maths nearly worked.
You were close.
All right.
I know we had a bit more than Arsenal.
Tempers are flaring it. It's like the Edinburgh Derby.
It's 7-2 now, and I tell you, I've lost seven on pens and the last penalty shootout.
Let's go to another caller. It's the Radio City Legends. Let's chat with Robbie. Hello, Robbie.
Hi.
Sorry for keeping you waiting. What do you want to talk about, Rob?
Excuse me. I just wanted to say that I think at the weekend it's going to be one of those attack v attack games. Mm-hmm. And I'm slightly concerned about sort of Aubameyang. You know, he's got a bit of a point to prove, I think, with Klopp. And I think if we're not careful, we could concede quite a few, really. And if our lads up front aren't on the game, I think I just think potentially it's going to be a tough game.
Do you know what I have to say, Rob? One thing I'm not too concerned about now, going to likes of Arsenal and places like that. Our defence is pretty good. It's pretty strong, whether it's Gomez or Van Dijk or, Lovren and Van Dijk. The fullbacks are good, both defensively and going forward. If we've got enough in our locker with Van Dijk to take whatever they can throw at us. And the play to brought Lacazette as well. You know, he's settled down to start to bang a few goals in. I mean, we know what he can do. But so does Van Dijk, you know. So I'm not too intimidated by him, but respect big time, because I watched him the last home game he played, and some of the movements he's got them playing going forward was absolutely the Arsenal of all. It was really quick, 1-2 touch football, really, really sharp, really good. But we've got a good defence now. We've got a good defence, and it's all about our front three, Rob. If they can take on, the little bit of confidence they might have got from Cardiff, the way we played and scored the goals, and then we won't be too far away getting a victory.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I do honestly feel that going forward, I think Arsenal are going to get better and better, and I hope that we can only get better, really. Mm-hmm. Because, our front three haven't been that good at the start of the season, although, last game he looked all right. And so, I'm just hoping that we just go for it big time. I'd pay Shaqiri. I think he's a top guy at the minute. I'd just go with loads of flair and just absolutely try and smash them, to be honest.
Yeah. Arsenal have scored 24 this season. Liverpool have scored 20. Arsenal have conceded 11. Liverpool have conceded 16.
Liverpool have conceded what?
What?
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. sorry, the goal difference is 16.
Worried there, mate.
The goal difference, sorry, is 4. Sorry, I've got the figures entirely
Liverpool
wrong. Arsenal have conceded 13, Liverpool have conceded 4.
Yeah, so that's
so what I was saying is Arsenal have scored goals, but they've let lots in, haven't
they?
That's
what I'm saying, I think, our goal difference is better, but that's not saying that we're going to win the game. But I think the balance we've got at the back going forward, and apparently they've got a few injury problems on top of what's coming on, so... Hey, you've got to play well, and to win anywhere away from home, and to go to win at the top teams, you've got to play really well. And let's hope the front three, if they can hit the notes, then I'm confident that we'll come away with a win.
What do you reckon on like the issue of us having a full week to prepare? I'm not too sure that always works in your favour.
Oh yeah, I think that's beneficial.
I think they needed it.
Yeah, I think it's beneficial. Yeah, absolutely. You know, next week obviously you've got to go to Serbia, and then the games come thick and fast again. You've got the Christmas coming up, so I think it's great for the manager because he will have allowed them to have a decent bit of rest within that structure of the week we've had, you know.
Yeah, so that makes us favourite. Are we favourite then? I don't know.
I think it'd be down the middle. John Moss, the referee, that might just take it away from us if he referees. That's a chap. He's just showing me. He's having me off.
Referee, you've got no chance.
There's a lot worse than him, I think. He's not. I tell you, who's the best? Yeah. There's only one for me, and that's what's his name. I forgot his name now. I won't get that now.
Michael Oliver.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. No, but Rob, fingers crossed, mate. Mm-hmm.
Rob, nice one. Thank you very much indeed, pal. Great to hear from you. Radio City legends. Although confident about this weekend.
Overly confident, but I think I'll tell you what it will be. It'll be a smashing game. It'll be a really, really good game. I think both teams will score. Hopefully we get one more than them. But it's always a decent game now and there. I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a good game. Hopefully we defend well. If we defend well, I think we'll win.
Thank you, John. Let's take a final caller on the show, Radio City legends. Let's welcome Peter, who wants to talk about Everton. Evening, Pete.
Evening, mate. Evening, Sharpie.
Hi, Pete. How are you doing? Okay?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sharpie. I just want to speak about the standard of the referee.
Pete, your line's cutting out a little bit. Try and move, I don't know, across from the room from where you are. Just move, shift somewhere, see if we can get a better signal off you.
Is that any better?
That's better. We go. Go on.
Yeah. I wanted to speak about the standard of refereeing. I watch Sammy a lot. My brother, he plays over at Sammy's. I watched him, from the conference. Now in League 2. And it's a problem right through the league. I think the referees now, they want to be, famous, like the players and stuff like that. I think it's an issue right through the league. So we're just, talking about dropping referees.
Yeah.
There's no one to come in and take their place.
No.
The standard gets worse, the lower down the league.
I think you're right. I think you're spot on, and but you just want to see. I think you're right. There's an elite group now of referees, or so-called referees, who our best referees should be a lot better than what they are. Honestly, and I go on about it, and listen, I think it's a really hard job, and football's changed, and it's got quicker, people say, and decisions, and people and players don't help them because they go down too easily. So there's a lot of problems as well. So players have got a sort of responsibility as well. But I just think at times, to me, it's about knowing the game. And I don't know if they know the game. Listen, they train and they get paid well. But what you said before, I agree with. I think they've now become stars. Or they think they're stars, and it's about them. And I said, I'll keep saying this to people. The first time I saw it was before a game at Everton, and Uriah Rennie was the referee, and he was stopping to sign autographs. And I thought, wow, here we go. The game has changed now, because they are now becoming big figures in the world of Premier League football. I just think the standard can be better. I still think that they should be put into teams, a referee and two linesmen, and get marked accordingly. So if you get the best referee or the best set of officials, and their marks are the highest, they should referee the cup final. They should referee or go to the World Cup, or they go whatever as a team. Yeah. I just think at the moment
there's no indication that that's going to happen, is there?
No, I don't. And I just think, Steve, I think we're talking about it time and time again. Do they need help? Yes, of course they do. People say VAR. Listen. We look at the decision at Manchester United, it possibly could have helped them. They do need help, but I still think that, honestly, I just don't think they know the game. For Dermot Gallagher to come out and say that Idrissa Gueye won the ball, but not enough of it.
Left you baffled. Peter, how bad's the refereeing you're watching with Tranmere?
Just an example, James Norwood, older one, I would know.
Yeah.
Just a couple of weeks ago against Lincoln, he must have been upended about 12 times. But one, he was upended on the halfway line. the referee gives a foul, you know, against Norwood, you know, their centre halves, you know, coming through the back of Norwood. It's a foul on Norwood. It's a clear foul. And then Norwood ends up getting sent off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just some of the decisions are shocking. And I think, you know, it's egos. I think the referees have now got egos.
Oh.
They think the players and, you know, stuff like that. And it's just, as I say, it's right through the league, even the conference standards and stuff like that. It's absolutely diabolical, it is.
Well,
great shout.
Yeah, very quickly, Steve, as well. I'd love to get a referee on here, a young referee on here, and ask him, who does he look up to?
Pete, thank you very much indeed. We'll get you back on again soon. Thank you for that. That was the Radio City legend, Sharpie. Thank you, Aldo, as well. And we'll review the weekend's action, of course, on Monday. See you then.